Those of you who watch Ben Hayden every Sunday on the television see Howard as he sings in the choir of the First Church of Chattanooga. I get to see it on vacation usually, but we're glad to have Howard back home with us this evening. Now, before we turn to John 17, will you turn with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You'll notice in verse 14 of Ephesians 3 that Paul is giving expression to a prayer. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he tells these Ephesian Christians what he has prayed for. And in the course of that prayer in verse 17, he says this, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." One of the things that Paul prayed for these Ephesian Christians, that they might in their own experience know something more of the love of God that he had for them. Now, this is what Jesus is praying for in John 17. That believers might be able to comprehend and understand something of the depth of the love of God for the Christian. So if you'll turn back now to John chapter 17, where we continue our study of our Lord's high priestly prayer of intercession. Now, it's almost unbelievable from a human standpoint for us to understand how much God loves the Christian. But we know it's true based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you look here in John 17, at the end of verse 23, he has prayed that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The Living Bible paraphrases it this way, that the world will understand that you love them as much as you love me. As I say, from a human standpoint, this is almost unbelievable. But here Jesus is saying, and Jesus is praying, that the world may know and understand what a tremendous love God has for his redeemed children. And he wants it to know that God loves the believer just as much as he loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is really the title of our sermon tonight, Amazing Love. And as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and as Jesus prayed for you and for me, that you may know and understand that Almighty God loves you just as much as he loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember back here in verse 20 of John 17, he is saying that he is now praying for future believers. All of those who will believe on him through the word that was delivered to the apostles and has been passed on down to the church through all subsequent generations. So you can be assured tonight that in this portion of the prayer in John 17, Jesus Christ is praying for you, for all who will believe on me through their word. And so he's praying for you. And what he's praying for right here is that the world may sit up and take notice that God loves you just as much as he loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you recall 2 weeks ago that Jesus' burden in this section is that they all may be one, that the world may know. And we talked about spiritual unity. The spiritual unity that exists among believers in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this unity is not something that men create. They don't get everybody together in one great big organization and say, now we're all together, we've got one, we have a unity. This is a unity that is already present because of the fact that all believers partake of one divine nature, the thing that we talked about this morning. If you have been the recipient of God's sovereign grace and have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, who have been born again, Peter says you have become a partaker of the divine nature. You have been put into the family of God. We have all been baptized by one Spirit, incorporated into the family of God. Now, because of this, you and I are in Jesus Christ. We are in Him, spiritually speaking. And He is in us by the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And it is a love relationship. A relationship of oneness of will and oneness of purpose, and we are bound together with the love of God in Christ Jesus, which we've experienced. Now, this is a testimony to the world that the Father has sent His Son into the world. But now, He also wants to raise up a testimony that the world may understand that the Father hath loved the believer just as much as He has loved the Son, Jesus Christ. But I ask you again, can you imagine it? Can you really believe it tonight that you are loved by Almighty God just as much as He loves His Son, Jesus Christ? Now, what kind of a love is this? First of all, it is an eternal love. Look, if you will, at verse 24 of John 17. At the last part, "For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now, granted, there are mysteries within the Trinity that are far beyond our finite, fallible minds to comprehend. But here is a revelation of God's Word. And Jesus said, "The Father hath loved me before the foundation of the world." But the same applies to you. If, as Jesus says here, you have been loved in the same manner, and you have been loved just as much as the Father loves the Son, then by logical implication, you have been loved eternally. And we know that the Epistle to the Romans confirms this, because it talks about us having been foreknown, whom God foreknew. And actually, the best translation or understanding of that word foreknew or foreknown in the Epistle to the Romans is foreloved. That from all eternity, God set His love upon you. He has loved you with an eternal love. But also, it is a love of delight and pleasure. You remember both at Jesus' baptism and at the Transfiguration, up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of the Father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, God never says this of the wicked. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. But you see, the Father sees you and me in Jesus Christ. And because you and I are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, He is well pleased. All of our sin was laid upon the Son. He bore our sin in His whole body on the cross. He paid the penalty for that sin with His shed blood and broken body. He died our death. And then Paul says in Romans, our sin was laid upon Him, but His righteousness is imputed or put upon us. And the Father sees us now clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And as He spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," so He loves us with a love that is full of delight and pleasure. He delights in His loved ones in Christ Jesus. And just as an earthly father, and I might add, an earthly grandfather, takes delight in his children and in his grandchildren, so Almighty God takes His pleasure and His delight in His redeemed children who are clothed with the righteousness of His Son. But furthermore, it is an infinite love. It's not fickle. It's not fleeting. It's without beginning. It's without end. It's without change. It's without limit. It's without degree. The love of God never changes. It goes on forever and ever. In spite of all of our shortcomings, in spite of all of our inconsistencies, in spite of all of the chastenings and the hiding of His face that He has to work in our lives sometimes, He will never cease to love us. Why? Because He will never cease to love His Son, Jesus Christ.
And he said, that the world may know that you have loved them just as you have loved me. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. Now, of course, God disciplines his children. He takes them through rough circumstances. He tries them and he tests them. And he brings things into their lives that sometimes make them just shudder. But his love never ceases. Because his love for his son Jesus Christ never ceases, and he loves us in the same way. But furthermore, this is a knowable love. It is a manifested love. It is a love that is no secret concerning the love of the Father to the Son. The testimony from heaven, this is my beloved Son, much loved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father testified of his love openly. He didn't keep it a secret. This is my Son, whom I love and in whom I am well pleased. But we read also in John 5:20, Jesus said, for the Father loveth the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the significant thing is that because the Father loves the Son, he shows them all things that he himself is doing. It is a revealed, knowable, manifested, no secret love. Now, how can we know? How do you and I know tonight that God loves us? Three ways. Three pledges of his love. First of all, his Son. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:19. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The knowable love of God. God's love that is no secret. How do I know it, first of all? Calvary fairly shouts at you tonight, I love you. Herein is the love of God manifested or revealed, that God sent his only begotten Son to be the propitiation for your sins. How do I know that God loves me? I look at Calvary. God so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved that he died. This is the evidence, the manifestation, the revelation of his love. But there's another way in which God makes his love knowable to us. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the picture here in Romans 5:5 is that of overflowing. And it says that the Holy Spirit, living within the heart of the believer, practically overflows with the awareness of God loves me. And this is what this is talking about when it says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. It's not our love for God. But it's the awareness of God's love for us, and it's overflowing. They say that the rivers are coming over their banks all around us today. The lake has never been higher than it is right now. This is a perfect picture of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, overflowing, borne witness by the Holy Spirit, that God loves you, that God loves me, in and through Jesus Christ. The third way that God has revealed his love to us, made it knowable, is through his word. John 20, verse 31. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Again, 1 John 5:13. These things are written that ye might know that ye have eternal life. Through his Son, through the Holy Spirit in our hearts, through the Word. Tonight you and I know the knowable love of God, that he loves us as believers. And that he loves us just as much as he loves his Son, Jesus Christ. But now the question, what is our response to such love? If it is literally true that God has loved you and me tonight in this manner, what is our response? What is our obligation to this kind of love? 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And again, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. John's argument is this. If you have been so loved by God, loved just like God loves his Son, Jesus Christ, then the obligation is upon you and me. We ought also to love one another. Now I ask you, how can any human being, a sinner, saved by grace, who has experienced and who has the guarantee and the evidence of such love in the Word, in the Son, in the Spirit, how can any individual then hold malice and unforgiveness and bitterness and enmity in his heart and in his life toward another? John says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." You know, and I know, that this is always the dam that keeps back the blessing. And whenever God, in His sovereign power and grace, sees fit to bring revival upon the people of God and spiritual awakening and renewal, the first thing that happens is the testimony, see how those Christians love one another. Because God deals with our selfishness and our self-centeredness and our self-righteousness and our self-pity and everything else that's centered around self. And He breaks that down and He confronts us with the love of God in Christ Jesus and says, because you have experienced this in your own heart and life, been a recipient of this, then you ought to be loving one another. This is an obligation. But also 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Our response, our obligations, in the light of being the recipients of the love of God in Christ. The second thing is obedience. Obedience. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. And the person who has been the recipient of this amazing love of God will be an individual who now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will desire to live his life in obedience to the revealed will of God set out in the Scriptures. And again, I always have to insert because somebody gets upset. I am not talking about perfectionism. Not as though I had attained either. We're already perfect. But I press on. And what the Word is saying here, as a recipient of this amazing love of God in Christ, I now show my response by earnestly seeking by the Holy Spirit, enabling to live my life now in obedience and in accord with the will of God set out in the Scripture. This is the way that I reveal my love to the Father for the way that He has loved me. Now, I don't know how this grabs you. You know, this is overpowering to me. That when God in His grace and His mercy lets me see myself as I really am and really would be apart from His grace. When I examine the natural tendency of my own heart and life and see what a selfish, self-centered, self-pitying individual I can be, and when my natural tendency is want to get even, and when somebody does me in, I want to do them in better and retaliate and all these other things. And then the Holy Spirit shows me in the Word the way that God has loved me, who didn't deserve a thing. God would be perfectly just and righteous if He sent me directly to hell. And yet to realize tonight that He sent His love upon me and upon you from all eternity, an infinite, eternal, unchangeable love. And tonight, He says to me through the Word and through His Son and by the Holy Spirit, I love you just as much as I love Jesus Christ. Beloved, what kind of a heart would I have that I would refuse to show love toward somebody else? And what kind of a heart would I have that I would not desire to glorify such a God as this, who had done this for me and live in obedience to His revealed will? Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose." In that same Romans 8 passage, we're told that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. But there is no sin that cannot be forgiven and cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no sin that can separate me from the love of God in Christ if I am His redeemed child and been the recipient of His amazing love. For the Scripture says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Why will you go around bearing a burden of guilt? Why will you go about with a question mark in your mind and in your heart as to the love of God for you, if you're a Christian, when God says nothing, absolutely nothing, shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Now, the Lord's going to chasten you. If you're one of His children, the recipient of His love, and you're going astray, God is going to chasten you. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And you're not going to have any peace in your heart. And you're not going to have any satisfaction. You're not going to have any joy. You're not going to have any power in your life as a believer. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. And what He is doing by His wooing, constraining grace and love is working in your life to bring you back into fellowship and communion with Him so that you will experience again that joy and that peace in believing. And you will have that assurance in your heart. He does love me. And He's loved me with an everlasting love, an infinite love, an unchangeable love, a knowable love. And as Jesus prayed here at the end of verse 23 of John 17, "that the world may know that Thou lovest them as Thou hast loved me." In any way you cut it, beloved, in any way you measure it. And Paul said, man, there's no way of measuring it. Who can fathom the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God? Human vocabulary runs out of superlatives and words to describe this love. But it's real. And it's God's love for you. You know this love? Have you experienced this love? If you haven't, you can. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, and to be the recipient, and to experience this amazing love of God. May we pray. Our Father and our God, how we praise Thy holy name for the revelation of Thy love. We acknowledge immediately that our poor minds cannot fathom completely such love. Father, we know it's real. We look at the cross, and it cries out, "I love you." We look into the Word, and we read again and again of the love of God toward men. Tonight, those who are believers, walking in fellowship with the Savior, know that the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit the love of God, the love of God overflowing and shed abroad in our hearts. Dear Father, again tonight we pray, if there be one single person, man or woman or young person here, who has not known or has not experienced this amazing love of God, that by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, Thou would speak to that heart tonight to convict and convince that individual of his tremendous need, of his lostness apart from Christ, and then, Father, of the answer to all of that in the Savior, that Jesus Christ is the sufficient Savior. Enable him, O Father, to breathe again tonight the penitent's prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive my sins and come into my heart and life. and be my Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.